Welcome back. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. My name is Oliver, and you're listening to yet another Discolly episode. Welcome, guys. It is October 4th, 2024. It is a bit of a gloomy morning today here in Vancouver. A little bit of rain, a little bit of wind, but I mean, nothing out of the norm. I mean, it is Vancouver at the end of the day. Before we do get into the new Discolly show for today, I do want to state that CITR is live and broadcasting off of the unceded traditional and ancestral lands of the Musqueam, Coast Salish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. Like I said, welcome back to Discolly. If you are new here and you don't exactly know how the show works, basically for about the first half of the show, we're going to be talking about a pretty mainstream artist, someone who is pretty well known, someone who has a pretty set and stone career. We're going to talk about their discography, their music. We'll be talking about their concerts, their vinyls, everything you have to, everything there is to discuss and yap about. I mean, you know me. It's just me and my thoughts. And then around halfway through the show, we'll turn over to our discovered artist of the week. I'm not going to lie, it is getting so much harder to find a Canadian artist that is similar to whatever artist I'm doing that week. So I think we're just going to call it our discovered artist of the week, whether that be Canadian or wherever they are internationally. We'll just give them a platform and talk about their music, their discography, as well as their genres, and if they have any projects coming up, which is always super, super exciting. I am, again, guestless today, so it is just me. So definitely, I don't know, grab a little snack if you have a little break. We're just going to be talking about some music and some artists. And if you have a break between classes for those UBC students on campus today, definitely just like tune in, relax a little bit. You can get back to your paper quite soon or you're studying. I know midterms are today. Not today, well, during this time of year, it is October, to be fair. I just had one yesterday myself. We'll be talking today about Rina Sawayama. Rina Sawayama is, I don't know how to say it. I think she's pretty well known, but she's still in like that, like, not awkward stage, but between blowing up and having like a pretty good fan base. I know a lot of people may not know her. I know some people do definitely know her from her first album. If not, they got to know her from her second album that was released in 2022, which that will be the album that we are going to be talking about today. Now, if you don't know who Rina Sawayama is, Rina Sawayama was born August 16th, 1990, which does make her 34 years old, in, I hope I pronounced this correctly, Niigata, Japan. She grew up in Japan and then later moved on to the UK, which is why if you do see any interviews of her, she does have an English accent. So basically she is a singer-songwriter. She plays the guitar, the harmonica, the flute, and obviously is a singer. She's been singing ever since 2013 as a professional career, and she is under the record label Dirty Hit, which I'm pretty sure there's a bunch of other artists under that. I know it was a little bit controversial sometimes with who owns this record label. I think this is the one that Maddie Healy owns. I'm not exactly sure. Or there was some tea between her and Maddie Healy, some drama, some tension, because of ownerships of her masters. So there's definitely Maddie Healy's in there somewhere. If you don't know who Maddie Healy is, he is basically one of the members of the 1975. He is the lead singer. But you know, it is what it is. I hope they were able to work that out themselves. She does dabble in genres such as pop, rock, and R&B, mainly alternative pop and dance pop. She has been known to have collaborated with people such as Charlie XCX, Caroline Polachek, and other dance pop artists. So she is kind of under that umbrella of like, I guess you can say dance pop and also kind of like electronic experimental music for sure. Like I mentioned, she started her career in the 2013. And she was always just, you know, making music and kind of just dabbling into like what she could find herself passionate in, if that makes sense. And then in 2017, 2020, she released her EP called Rina and Sawayama, which were huge successes for her. Was able to get the notice from artists such as Lady Gaga and other artists as well. And she had a very, 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 very famous song, kind of like new metal, heavy metal pop and avant pop called Comme des Garçons. And then in parentheses, like the boys, because Comme des garçons is French for like the boys. So she is technically translating it for us. And then in 2021 to around now, she has this whole aesthetic and this whole project that she made called Hold the Girl, which will be the album that we will be exploring today, which is super, super exciting. Before she did release Hold the Girl, she did have a collaboration with the infamous Charlie XCX, which I know their relationship is a little bit rocky today, and it's a little bit, it's really complicated on why it is rocky, but they had a song called Beg For You, which is off of Charlie XCX's album Crash, and that song ended up doing incredibly well. It was a very, it's a very fun song, it's very boppy, it's very danceable. So you can definitely see how they both complement each other because they're both kind of in the same genre, just that Charlie's a little bit more like crazy. And then Rina Sawayama just kind of brings a little bit more of a, how can I say this? Like a partnering voice to it. Cause she also has like, you know, her chaotic fun, to her music. And yeah, and then she released, like I said, Hold the Girl, and that will be the album that we're talking about today. So Hold the Girl was released in September 16th of 2022. So 2 year anniversary was not that long ago. It is under pop, dance pop, and alternative pop. Also under the record label Dirty Hit, and it had producers such as herself, Lauren Aquilina, Paul Epworth, Clarence Clarity, and Stuart Price, and then Marcus Anderson. I'm pretty sure, yeah, like I mentioned, I know a lot of people have heard me say this before, and I'll say it again. Apple Music does have the album just simply under alternative. I do have a vendetta under that because I feel like when they don't exactly know what to label it as, or they don't want to create a new label for albums that are kind of experimental, if not like just don't exactly fit under one umbrella, they'll just label it as alternative because they just don't know and it's just alternative music. But to be fair, this one is alternative pop, but I would have more labeled it under just pop or dance pop if that is an option for Apple Music. She had a bunch of singles that she released with this album. I honestly have mixed opinions about artists and how they do the rollout of their album. She released This Hell in May of 2022, Catch Me in the Air in June of 2022, Hold the Girl in July of 2022, August, September, October, December. She would just keep going, and like it was Phantom, Hurricanes, Frankenstein, and Imagining. It seemed like she was releasing a single for every, actually no, because it was released in September, so then Frankenstein and Imagining were like made singles after the album was released. But I don't know, I kind of have like a, like not a bone to pick, but like when artists release too many singles before they actually release the album itself, it's a little bit confusing because I'm like, okay, well now I kind of know what to expect from your album, but I actually wanted for when you release the album for me to be surprised and be like, whoa, like this project is so cool, and not kind of have it spoiled, if that makes sense. I know it can be a little bit iffy on like what restrictions there are when releasing the singles, and also when you want to release the whole album, which obviously I'm not aware of, if Rina ran into any of them. But yeah, I mean, like This Hell and Hold the Girl were obviously going to be singles. I mean, you'll listen to them and they are crazy good. They're definitely like, well, like they have a hook, like it catches your attention for sure. But like Catch Me in the Air and Phantom, as well as Frankenstein, Hurricanes, and Imagining, like they're good songs, but like I wouldn't have personally like made them singles. I would have maybe like kept them as a body of project together and then release it with the album as a whole. I definitely think that could have been a choice, but I mean, it is what it is. So to start off today and kind of have me like take down my yapping a little bit, I'm going to play one song off the album to start off. I was debating if I wanted to start like, you know, in order. There is a song before Hold the Girl called Minor Feelings. And it has a really nice transition. So I think I might just play the transition if I'm being real. Play the end of Minor Feelings and then just, I guess, go into Hold the Girl right after that. Because it's like, it's a nice transition. Hopefully my laptop does not like, you know, glitch and then the transition is ruined. But yeah, to start off, we do have Minor Feelings, and then right after we have Hold the Girl, which is the song that I will be playing to start us off today. So yeah, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and this is Rina Sawayama with Minor Feelings into Hold the Girl. Thank you. welcome back. You're listening to The Scully, and that was Rina Sawayama with Hold the Girl. I love that song. I love it so much. It was kind of like, I had a conversation with my friend when we were talking about the Rina album, and it was very much between either Hold the Girl or This Hell, because they're both super poppy, they're both super crazy. And I argued with my friend Jenny. I was like, I think honestly that Hold the Girl is personally, for me, a better song than This Hell. Even though This Hell is a great song, and it's very fun and it's very country pop, which we'll get into. I just think the vocals that Rina delivers in this song really show her the capability that she is to reach those high notes and be an alto, and also deliver such kind of like tension before releasing it on a beat drop. I mean, even the beginning, like you guys saw, seamless transition into the song before that from Minor Feelings to Hold the Girl. Apologies for starting the song a little bit halfway through and then it being a little bit crazy. I forgot that right before. It is a little bit heavy on the beat. But it starts off with obviously like kind of like background noise of rain, and then there's also like a motorcycle, and then it kind of just like builds up, and then she starts off with like reach inside and hold me close, and then out of nowhere we just kind of have like these really weird sounds, like electronic music come in. It's super like mind-bending, and you're like, whoa, like where are we going? It kind of sounds like you're in a race, like if you're in a car, i.e. a motorcycle, and then she just hits you with like this like really interesting take on production, because like I said, like you feel like you're in a car, you're going crazy, and then there's like since the synth kicks in, it's a bit of like a relaxed synth, and then there's also, you can also hear there is violins and strings in the background, and I love when, and this happened also with Brat in on Charlie's album, I love when artists are able to incorporate classical instruments into such like an electronic and complex production, because it kind of grounds the audience more back into kind of like quote unquote the basics, if that makes sense. Charlie did it with, I think it was Mean Girls. There's like a break, or even, you know what, even Mean Girls, Everything is Romantic and Sympathy is a Knife. I've actually been meaning to say this, but I've obviously done Brat already. But in Sympathy and It's a Knife, she uses the high part of a violin, kind of like a screeching violin, especially when she says like the word knife. As in like, you know, like in horror movies where they grab a violin, it's like, she does that. And she does that to obviously create that effect of it being scary. Obviously, and also in Everything is Romantic, you can kind of hear like this crazy production with like the strings just in the background, just like all mushed and messed up. I mean, obviously that song is very chaotic itself, so it makes sense to incorporate as much as she could in like that beat drop. And then in Mean Girls, there is a piano break. And it's kind of interesting because like Mean Girls is a very like, you can also feel like, it kind of feels like a motor. It's like doom, doom, doom. And then out of nowhere, she just goes into her break and it's like pure piano. Same thing happened with Billie Eilish in her song Lunch. She has a full piano break where it's just kind of like the beat is still in the background, but like the piano is just fully hitting. Same thing with Rina Sawayama. She has like a strings in the background. It kind of goes like, and like kind of like an extension to the song. Also, I'm realizing that I'm making very weird noises with my mouth right now, trying to imitate these instruments. But hopefully you're able to understand exactly what I mean. It kind of just adds this extra like flavor, this extra oomph, this extra complexity to the song. That obviously makes it a lot better, a lot more interesting, and a lot more pleasant to the ear. The song itself, you couldn't tell from the title, Hold the Girl, it's kind of just referring to like trying to hold on to yourself when you're moving into the future, when you're moving into something that's new. And sometimes life can feel like it's going a little bit fast and you're like, wait, hold on to her. But like you can't, because it's yourself, if that makes sense. Great depiction of it. And I love how she's kind of talking about herself in the third person, like never, ever let her go. And my favorite part of the song actually is when it comes, like there's a bridge and she kind of sings in like this like echoey, not exactly opera, but like choir kind of voice. And then she just comes back, and then everything, like all the production kind of leaves for a second, and then it all just comes back again for the last chorus before the song ends, which is always a fun time. I always, whenever I listen to that song, I like blast my AirPods and I just make sure I'm like unbothered, untouched, unnothing, because when that beat drops, it is kind of like full body chills, and it's always fun to listen to. Up next, right after that, we do have This Hell. I do want to play it. I do want to mention that this song itself is, there's not an uncensored version of it. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to find one, but I will be trying to censor it as much as I can. But This Hell is a song that I think one of the main songs on Rina's album that kind of stands up against, kind of as a message out to the public, a message as well to her industry about standing up for what's wrong and for what's right in the music industry, in the celebrity world and all that. It's kind of saying that, like, let us be who we are. It is very much became a staple and a song in the LGBTQ community because it obviously stands for, like, if we're all going to hell anyway, let's make it a party. If that makes sense. Because, like, she's saying that, like, this hell is better with you. Like, if they're going to send us down under, like, let's all come together because, like, we don't care. We're going to do whatever we do anyway. We're going to be who we are. And that's not going to stop us. And then there's a kind of, we'll get into it after I play the song, but there's a bit of some messages to do with, like, being a celebrity and having to deal with such a big crowd, such a big audience, and such a big hunger for paparazzi, for news outlets, and for media to document every single part of your life because you're now this person who is being put under the spotlight. And so she kind of, like, shouts out a couple people, which we'll talk about later, to the stands. And this is also a song that I mentioned that is country pop leaning. And you can kind of see in the beginning, she kind of gives a shout out to a little someone who I incredibly love and adore. And yeah, we'll get into it. I feel like I'm just kind of very much teasing and not playing the song. We'll get back to you. Listen to the Scully. And this is Rina Sawayama with This Hell.
To eternal death. There are some people that would have you not use certain words.
Opinions expressed are solely those of the presenter and may not reflect the views of CITR Radio or the University of British Columbia.
Bad words. Shit, piss, fuck, cock, cocksucker, mother, and tits. Wow.
This program may contain language that some listeners find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Tits doesn't even belong on the list, you know?
Jake, you're back.
Don't shut your face. I came back for the music.
Royal Otis, live in concert, coming to the PNE Forum in Vancouver on October 22nd. Fresh off the heels of their debut album, Prats in Pain, and the viral cover of Murder on the Dance Floor for Triple J's Like a Virgin, don't miss the Australian duo on their biggest tour yet, Royal Otis, Glory to Glory Fall Tour. Tickets are on sale now at ticketleader.ca. TicketLeader.ca.
All right, I'm not going to lie. Honestly, that little like language advisory, I've never actually heard it before, but it's a little bit fitting. I try my best here on Discully to censor as much as I can off of the music. I know it can be a little bit hard, especially when it's so embedded into the songs and also part of the message that's trying to be portrayed through their lyrics and through their voice. So yeah, a little language advisory. I tried my best to censor this Hell by Rina Sawayama. But I think she honestly can be justified in the way she used her language. Like I said, we were going to talk a little bit about who she shouts out in her song. There's a bunch of celebrity shout-outs, whether implicit or explicit. Implicitly, in the beginning, like I said, it was country pop. She says the iconic line, the iconically known phrase by Shania Twain, the "Let's go, girls," in the beginning of the song. You can also kind of hear, like, I think it might have been Rina, but like cracking a can open, whether that be Coke, Pepsi, any type of soda. I think that was kind of like a little bit of an ode to maybe Britney or anyone who has done a Pepsi, Cola, you know, oh my God, I'm blanking on the word, commercial, because I feel like most celebrities have done a commercial for them. And then there's a section in the song where she's like, she says, you know, the F word, and then she's like, what they did to Britney, to Lady Di, and Whitney. So she's obviously referring to the paparazzi and what they did to them. The paparazzi is obviously very overwhelming for a lot of people, for a lot of celebrities, and some celebrities in specific who have unfortunately lost their lives due to the paparazzi. Britney hasn't lost her life, but I know, especially when she was going through it and through a lot of personal obstacles that she had to overcome, Britney was overflowed with paparazzi and, you know, basically her private life was no longer private and just out in the public for everyone to see, which is definitely pushing some boundaries. Princess Diana of Wales, she is unfortunately not with us anymore, and she did lose her life to the paparazzi in Paris. She was being followed in her car as she left her hotel room in under a tunnel, and there was a tragic crash, and Lady Di unfortunately did lose her life due to that. And then Whitney Houston. I'm pretty sure Whitney Houston didn't die because of the paparazzi, but I know like her life was being documented at her worst times. And it's obviously not something that a lot of people want to go through. Someone else that she does do kind of shout out is Paris Hilton. Paris Hilton has her iconic line that she has, I think, copyrighted, which is the "That's hot." I think there's like a little break between the song, between the verse and the chorus, where it kind of like you can kind of hear like this like rewind sound effect before it says "Wow, that's hot," which is honestly kind of iconic. And then, like I mentioned, this song is for the gays, the theys and the she's, for the LGBTQ community, because it kind of just talks about your voice, your power, and, you know, just being true to yourself and not caring what everyone else has to say. Because if you're going to go down under, if you're going to go to the afterlife, let's do it together. Let's do it as a community, because we're going to stick together, which I think is a great reason why Rena got a little bit vulgar with her language on this track. Even at the end when she has her little, I think that might have been the bridge, but it's a bit of a repetitive bridge with a like a refrain, if that makes sense. When it says like, "Got my invitation to eternal damnation, get in line, pass the wine, we're going straight to hell." I think it's kind of funny. It's kind of honestly iconic for her to say that, because it's like, if we're gonna go to the afterlife, if we've been invited to go down there, grab the wine, like, we're going straight down there and let's do it together. So that's super fun. Concerning the vinyl LPs that Rena did release for Hold the Girl, she had quite a couple variants. Starting off, she had the limited edition orange, the This Hell Lava, that was originally released in 2022. She also had a silver and gray marble, a clear red, a black smoke, which was actually numbered. That was only for the UK. She also had a Blue Jay Blue, which was UK and US, and then the limited edition orange, again, LP lava color that I mentioned, but she repressed it. She also had an opaque ice white. She had a red apple. She had a black galaxy, also a yellow lemonade kind of color mixed into that. She had a red and white swirl, and then she re-released the orange This Hell Lava, but it was signed. And then she released a grape and black galaxy, a black ice. and then for the 1 year anniversary, which happened last year, she released a opaque white and cobalt blue. That's actually the one that I own. And that was an alternative cover and an alternative artwork for the album. So the original one is kind of like it's interesting to describe. I wish I could show you guys, but it's kind of like her standing in like this full black outfit, but like the bottom of her legs is fully, like she looks like she's standing in a circle or kind of like in a black pumpkin or like black something. She kind of looks like oil, if that makes sense. And then it's obviously her, and then the whole background is just red. It's honestly super cool. It looks a little bit like, it's very like, it's artwork. It's art. Sometimes I know for album covers, they can just like take a photo of like a landscape or take a photo of themselves. Like this is like, it kind of looks like she's modeling. It looks like she's wearing, I don't know, some type of designer, which she probably is, if I'm being real. And then the alternative artwork for her first anniversary reissue cover, it's her sitting on like this wooden chair. And yeah, I think she's being held by someone, maybe being held by the girl, if that makes sense. Hold the girl, get it. And it's blue instead of red. So that's super cool. And that is the one that I do have. And I love my vinyl. I love my little cobalt blue with a white little imprint in the middle. Super fun. And I ordered it when it was really cheap. So thank God. But yeah, I actually want to get to the next song before I start yapping about the concerts and her little tour. Going down the list, there's Catch Me in the Air. Catch Me in the Air is a bit of a fun song. It's kind of like the perfect like transfer of energy from the crazy song That's This Hell into Catch Me in the Air, and then we go into like Forgiveness, which is a little bit more chill. And then we have Holy Till You Let Me Go. Holy Till You Let Me Go is a song that I listen to in the gym. I just think it's so like energy packed, but not in the way like to dance, but energy packed just in the way like the production is, that like there's not exactly a need for me to dance, but there's a need for me to like exert my energy into something, which is why I use it in the gym. I think Holy Till You Let Me Go will be the last song that I do off of Rina Sawayama, which is unfortunate because we're only on track 6 out of a 13-track album. But I'll kind of talk quickly about the other songs. Your Age is right after, and then there's Imagining. Frankenstein and Hurricanes were, I think, also singles off of her album. Great songs, super complex, super intricate, super fun. Definitely take a listen to them. I love them as well. And then was it Send My Love to John, Phantom, and To Be Alive. I'm pretty sure Phantom was also a single off of when she not released the album, but no, yeah, August 25th of 2022. So she released it right before she released the album. But Holy Till You Let Me Go, Holy Till You Let Me Go. I mean, kind of think of like holy sounds. You can kind of think of like angelic sounds, an angelic production. You can kind of hear like maybe like a bell, a church bell. She definitely uses the resources of that aesthetic into her music, which is why I honestly love the song, because it makes me very much feel like I'm in a church. But yeah, we'll listen to the song, come back, talk about it a little bit, get into the concerts, and then move to our Discovered Artist of the Week. You're listening to The Scully, and this is Rina Sawayama with Holy Till You Let Me Go. Holy Till You Let Me Go, indeed. What a good song. I honestly love it. It's really fun. I'm always like banging my head in the studio here, and I feel like I'm just kind of like, if you look into the studio, it's just a crazy man just banging his head. But yeah, there's an interesting story behind this song. I would obviously say that there is a connotation to religion and talking on that topic, and kind of like, I was innocent until you said I was evil. You know what I mean? It's like, who are you talking to? Are you talking to the religion? Are you talking to the church? Are you talking to the people in the church? Like, what's it going on? So I kind of did a quick little search, and off of the RinaFandom.com, we got a little bit of a background, which I will read for everyone, just to kind of see what Rina had to say and what people are thinking about the song. So it states that this song was inspired by the time Rina Sawayama attended a church of England. I grew up hearing so much about religion, it's quoted. I grew up hearing so much about the religion and spirituality, said Sawayama, but there was some dark stuff that went on there that was not handled very well, and I'm alluding to it in these songs. She further added, I think going to Christian girls' school can be very confusing. There's this idea that girls are holy until a certain point of their life, and then they're not. So I'm asking, what does youth mean in the situation? What is good and what is bad? It is described that Holy Till You Let Me Go is an extravagant Eurodance track with this like thunderous percussive run and rousing chorus. It's super, super fun, if that makes sense. It's like fun, but it's like dark, like a dark pop kind of leaning. And it brings too much interpretation, if that makes sense. But yeah, I mean, definitely, like, there's a bunch of times when she says, like, I'm innocent until you said I was evil. Found my peace when I lost my religion. Like, what is she trying to say? But she definitely does have a point on how religion and a Christian girls' school can definitely view girls as pure until a certain point of the life when they are no longer pure, which is a little bit, very controversial, and left to each person to have their opinion on that. But I'm glad that Rina Sawayama was able to put her thoughts on it, especially as someone who does represent the queer community nowadays and who has her own thoughts and her own political views, on that topic, and was able to put it on to a song. And I think she does a great job in starting it off, kind of like spooky. And then it kind of goes into a bit of like a lighter, airy chorus and pre-chorus. And then immediately when it gets into the chorus, it's like kind of her screaming into the mic. She's like, I'm innocent till I said I was evil. And then at the end, it's just like, you just hear like the church bell. Crazy. I love, it's a bit of like a mini story within that song. I mean, it is a bit of a shorter song, barely cut in 3 minutes. But yeah, thank you guys for going through Rina Sawayama with me today. I love Rina. I wish I could have attended her concert during her tour. I did attend. Oshiega. I always say this. I feel like most people that I do went to Oshiega. I attended Oshiega, and she was actually one of the artists there playing on, I think, the Bell stage. If not, it was the chorus stage, so one of the main stages. And it was right after, I think, either Wallows or... It was definitely Wallows. Right after Wallows went on, Rina Sawayama took the other stage. And she had a bit of a small crowd, I'm not going to lie. I was kind of feeling that she would have a bigger crowd, but she didn't. And this was kind of like the time where my friend took their like pee breaks and went to go get some water. I decided to stay and just, you know, have fun, because my friend Jenny was also like, oh, please film this hell for me. And I was like, oh, I'm going to live it. I'm going to film it. It's going to be fun. But yeah, she kind of came out in this like super awesome aesthetic. She started off in this like really flowy white dress. And then she took that off to reveal kind of like this like red kind of outfit. And then she obviously closed with this hell. And then that's when she brought out her little red country hat, with some like accessories dangling off of it. And then she stripped one more time to her last layer of clothing into something a little bit more crazy, a little bit more fun, to like wrap up her concert for sure. She was a great performer. Her voice is very similar to what it is in the studio, which is always something that I can appreciate. And she was just very genuine, and she got the crowd to interact. She had half of the crowd sing Got My Invitation to Eternal Damnation, and then the other side of the crowd to sing Get in Line. What's the part of the chorus again? Get in line, pass the wine, we're going straight to hell. That one. But yeah, so would love to see Rina Sawayama on her actual tour, not just at a festival, because I feel like she could play so many more songs that are off her discography, which would be fun. But yeah, that's Rina Sawayama, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are now moving in to our Discovered Artist of the Week, which is Foxes. Foxes is also, funny enough, a British singer. Her full name is Louisa Rose A. Allen. She's born April 29th of 1989. That makes her 35 years old in Southampton, Hampshire, in England. She works with pop, indie pop, electropop, dance pop, and synth pop, which is why I have chosen her for today to kind of stay on that wavelength of music. She's a singer-songwriter and model, and she plays the guitar, the piano, and also, obviously, her vocals, because vocals are instruments, guys. She is under BMG Records and also these other record labels, Epic, Neon Gold, RCA, and Sony UK, which is really good. She is, like, she's not, like, super, super underground. She's, like, kind of known, but I feel like it's definitely, like, the known of, like, your country. Like, your country knows you, and you're trying to make it a little bit more international. She recently, quote unquote, kind of as in like IE Rena recently, she released an album called The Kick. It was released in 2022, and that will be the album that we're going to be doing today. It is described as pop, melancholic yet euphoric belters that celebrate the escapist powers of pop. We're going to start off kind of see what we like, what we feel, give an opinion, and then come back and talk about it. I'm going to start off with, I think the title track, Sister Ray. Actually, not the title track. Or should I start with The Kick or Sister Ray? I'm going to do Sister Ray because it's being recommended to me right now by Apple Music, so we'll see. So you're listening to The Scully, and this is Sister Ray by Foxes.
Too much, much too young. What a lovely Vancouver summer night. I can't wait to sit by myself at the beach and look at my phone. Huh? What's that?
Man, what are you doing? Get over here and come jam.
Wow, what a lovely assortment of musicians. What are you guys doing?
This is E-Studio. We come together and build connections over music. No musical experience needed. Just come socialize and build your confidence playing music if that's your thing.
Wow, this is so awesome. Now I have a real-life connections with Vancouver's international community of musicians and creatives. Thank you, E-Studio. E-Studio is an international jam group where we celebrate music from all around the world and play together. Follow us on Instagram at estudio.cafe. estudio.cafe.
Whoa, hold on. Where are you taking all those cacti?
I need to put them near the radio.
How come?
They love to hear Everly's nature-based music on Dead Succulent Haunt every Thursday at 5 p.m. on CITR 101.9.
Oh, Dead Succulent Haunt, where your plants can grow and you can mourn those you've lost.
Come on, plants, let's grow.
Welcome back to the last 10 minutes of Discali. That was Foxes with Sister Ray. Super fun. I honestly kind of thought the production was a little bit leaning towards kind of like a Carly Rae Jepsen. But I can definitely see some similarities in voice tonality to Rina Sawayama, as well as kind of like production and building this tension and building this anticipation. And then boom, beat drop. So that's super fun. And I always can appreciate it. Going down the track list, there's the title track, The Kick, and then there's Growing On Me, Potential, and then a song that kind of sparked my attention. It's called Dance Magic. I feel like it's going to be fun, and that's why I kind of want to play it, which is why I'm going to play it right now. But yeah, I'm going to be playing Dance Magic, kind of seeing like the song and what it brings and what it makes me feel. But I honestly, I'm not going to lie, I can definitely see myself really getting into Foxes. And hoping they come to Vancouver sometime. I feel like that'd be like a fun concert to go to. But yeah, we'll be playing Dance Magic, coming back, talking about it. You're listening to CITR 101.9, and this is Dance Magic by Foxes.
Break up.
honestly, I'm happy to say that I was right, that that song was really going to be super fun. That was Dance Magic by Foxes. Honestly, I have a couple opinions on it, on who it reminded me of. Obviously Rina as well, but I mean, Charlie was one of the first ones that came up to me. But actually more Caroline Polachek. I don't know if a lot of people know who Caroline Polachek is. Has also worked with Charlie XCX before. I think has worked with Rina Sawayama. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I know they're all kind of really in the same community. But yeah, there was a couple notes that Foxes hit, where there was like a slight, not yodel, but a bit of like that type of, vocal form, if that makes sense. But it reminded me a lot about like kind of like early Charlie, not exactly Charlie right now with like this whole brat aesthetic, but kind of like what was it? Love Sucks, that album. Was it called Love Suck? Love Sucker, maybe? Oh my God, I'm like blanking on my Charlie discography. This is not good. Oh, you know what's crazy? I don't have Wi-Fi right now. I don't know why. But yeah, so it reminded me a bunch of that, but especially Caroline Polachek. I feel like Caroline can sometimes definitely lean into a little bit more of a pop. She is very much like indie pop. I might do her album someday, because I honestly love talking about Caroline, and kind of really getting into it. But yeah. Great song, honestly, Dance Magic. Now, the real question is, what song am I going to sign off with? Because we are into the last 4 minutes of Discali. So I do want to announce that up next at 12, so midday, we do have Dave Radio presents The Eclectic Lunch, as always. So definitely stick around and tune in. It's always a fun time with The Eclectic Lunch. And right on time for lunchtime, guys. It's 12, it's midday. But yeah, I'm trying to decide what to play. It's between Absolute and Skylove. They're both highlighted, which I'm like wondering why. If you guys like Discali, definitely, you know, check me out. I'm here every Friday from between 11 and 12. I also do have an Instagram page at _Discali_. We also have a TikTok, which I know I've been a little bit inactive, but I'll get on it soon. I've just started school, so it's a little bit complicated, but it is what it is. I'll be here next week, so definitely tune in at that time. New artists, new music, as always. So yeah, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I'll see you guys next week. And I think I'm going to do Skylove. There's something about it. Yeah, this is CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, signing off to Discali, and this is Skylove by Foxes.
Wanna feel electric with just one touch. Fall for